This course is entitled Let's Begin because it's a course for the new believer beginning the Christian walk. It's also a course for the seasoned believer who needs to go back to basics and be reminded of the essential teachings of the Christian life. By becoming a Christian, you have made the most important decision you will ever make. By becoming born again, you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, making Him your Savior and Lord. You have made a commitment to serve Him completely. In order to walk successfully as a Christian and experience the fullness of joy, you need to know and practice the basic teachings of the Christian life. This course will teach you some of those basic teachings or principles. Let's begin now our study of the basic teachings of the Christian life. We'll consider first our salvation, and then we'll cover the Bible, the two ordinances of the Christian faith, water baptism and the Lord's Supper, the Holy Spirit baptism with the evidence of speaking with tongues, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, prayer, and finally, giving. May God bless you as you endeavor to walk with Him according to His teachings, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's talk about the subject of salvation, which is absolutely foundational and primary to our walk with God. We must understand salvation, what the Lord has done for us, and what He wants us to do in receiving that salvation. The Christian life begins with a spiritual new birth, even as our natural lives begin with a natural birth. When you become a Christian, you are brought into the family of God with full rights, privileges, and responsibilities of a child of God. This experience is also referred to as salvation, the new birth, and born again. Now, the word salvation certainly includes a lot more than the new birth and being born again, for those are just the beginnings of the Christian life, whereas salvation is preservation, deliverance, prosperity, health, all through our life here on earth and hereafter. But let's talk about the good news of our salvation first. The Bible says to become a Christian, we must be born again. And Jesus, in John chapter 3 and verse 3, told Nicodemus, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That's pretty strong, isn't it? Unless you're born again, you'll not get to heaven. Now, here are some facts about our salvation that we need to know. First of all, God loves us. Why don't you tell yourself that right now? God loves me. God loves us, and He wants us to have an abundant life here on earth. He also offers us eternal life, life that's everlasting and life that's abundant and full, life that's available right now. Jesus went on to say to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that comes from John 3:16. To believe in means to have faith in, to trust in, or to entrust to Christ one's complete well-being spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, and relationally. In verse 17, Jesus said, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Now, the word salvation, as I mentioned earlier, is a lot broader than just the new birth. And it comes from the word soteria. There's also the word sozo and several other words in the Greek to mean salvation. And these words mean to rescue or to deliver, to provide health. And in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua, which means deliverance. Aid, victory, prosperity, health, help, saving health and welfare. Jesus is the translation of Yeshua, indicating that Jesus' name means salvation, and all of its benefits to our spirit, soul, body, finances, and relationships, and in fact, to every facet of our beings. So salvation means total deliverance, total preservation, total blessing in every area of our lives. So the first point is God loves us, and He has salvation for us. The second point is we are sinners. In Romans we read in chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." God is holy, but all of us sin. Now, a sin is a transgression of religious law, an offense against God, according to Webster's Third International Dictionary. We have all violated God's laws. And the third point we want to mention is that sin has a penalty. God loves us, we are sinners, but sin has a penalty. Romans tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And that comes from Romans 6, verse 23. Because man is a sinner, he deserves the penalty of death, not only physical death, but also spiritual death, and death is separation from God. Sin brings not only separation from God spiritually, but also sorrow emotionally, sickness, physical problems, poverty, grief in our relationships. Sin can bring a curse to every part of our being, in fact, can't it? For a fuller description of the curses which God promised Israel for her disobedience, you might want to look sometime at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 to 68. They talk about all sorts of curses that come when we do not have God's salvation and do not walk in obedience. Now note the spiritual consequences of separation from God, as well as the references to emotional sorrows, physical sicknesses, financial curses, and relational separation from God. Then look at verses 1 through 14, and you'll see the blessings that come from obedience. Freedom from the curses, spiritual freedom, emotional, physical, financial, relational freedom. And God offers us deliverance from sin and its consequences, and the free gift of salvation or eternal life in Jesus Christ are ours if we will open our hearts to God. So sin has a penalty. But the good news is that Jesus Christ has paid our penalty. Jesus Christ paid our penalty by dying in our place. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God loves us and wants fellowship with us, but He is also righteous, and He cannot overlook our sins. In order to forgive our sins and reconcile us to Himself, He sent Jesus to die in our place. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins at the cost of His own blood. And Paul declares in Galatians 3:13, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" The curse that should be upon us for our sins was placed on Jesus. When we receive salvation in Jesus Christ, God provides to those who walk in obedience and faith the fullness of deliverance from the curse of the law, both here and hereafter. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5 tell us the extent of the work which Jesus did on the cross for us. Quote, "Surely He has borne our griefs," literally sicknesses, "and carried our sorrows," or pains. "Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by his stripes we are healed. So the prophet is telling us that in the beating and crucifixion which Jesus suffered, he atoned not only for our sins, but also for sin's consequences, including separation from God spiritually, well, that would be a spiritual consequence, sorrows emotionally, sicknesses physically, poverty financially, and problems relationally. Now, Matthew chapter 8 and verses 16 and 17 confirm the availability of physical healing in Jesus' redemption. Quote, "When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." What a wonderful God we serve! How gracious for the Lord to offer us salvation! My friend, do you know the Lord? Have you received him? If not, I'm going to invite you to pray with me, and we will bring you into the family of God by the promise of God's word. And if you know the Lord, pray this prayer anyway, because it's going to build you up spiritually and help you to receive the fullness of God's blessings that he has for you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we ask you to help us now to receive your salvation. Lord, we are sinners. Forgive us for our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come into our lives and save us and deliver us and heal us. In Jesus' name, amen. Salvation, remember, is complete deliverance. It's aid, victory, prosperity, health, saving health, and welfare, according to Strong's Concordance. Let's talk about our part in obtaining salvation. We need to do three things to receive God's free gift of salvation. First, acknowledge that we are sinners. Second, repent of our sins. And third, receive Jesus as our Savior. Number one, let's talk about acknowledging that we're sinners. We are not ready to be saved until we realize our sinful condition and our need for a Savior. Jesus said in Luke 5, verses 31 and 32, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, he was not saying that some are righteous on their own and some are sick, but he was looking for those who knew that they were sick, knew that they were sinners, and they were spiritually sick, and they needed a Savior. A physician cannot help you unless you acknowledge that you have a problem. No one can help you in any area unless you acknowledge a need for that help. And so Jesus wants for us to acknowledge that we're sinners and we need his help. Secondly, we need to repent of our sins. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Repentance is more than being sorry for or convicted of sin. Dwight L. Moody, the well-known evangelist, defined repentance this way: "Man is born with his back toward God. When he truly repents, he turns right around and faces God. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of heart, and it results in a change of action." Oh, how right he is. Sin is so awful that Jesus had to die for us to obtain forgiveness. We must repent of our sins and desire God to free us from sin's control. Well, thirdly, we need to receive Jesus as our Savior. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." When we receive Jesus Christ personally as our Savior and our Lord or Master, we become children of God. This means we accept what he has done for us by dying for our sins, though he himself never sinned. We also accept the fact that he was resurrected as the proof that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice for us. Because Jesus lives, God can credit to the account of each person who responds by faith Jesus' righteousness. Now, the question I think each one of us needs to answer is, have I received salvation? And I'll put that question to you. Have you received salvation? Do you know that Jesus is your Savior? We need to be absolutely certain of this. Paul says to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 13:4, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Have you acknowledged that you are a sinner? Have you repented of your sins? And have you received Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord? If not, then now is a perfect time to do it." We're going to talk about this shortly, and I'm going to give you a prayer that you can pray with me. Remember that this salvation is not only the new birth, being given a life in Christ, but it's also being maintained in that life, maintained in wellness physically, emotionally, financially, relationally, spiritually. Whenever we have a need of any sort and need to be saved or delivered or preserved, we need to go to the Lord and ask for His help and ask Him to save us. And it's always a good idea to ask God if we have sinned in some way. If we know we have sinned, we need to confess it. And that confession is going to cleanse us from all sin. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Let's talk about the assurance of salvation. It is necessary for a strong Christian walk that we have the assurance of our salvation. We can have that assurance from God's Word. I want to raise three important points in this matter of assurance of salvation. First of all, we need to know that we are saved. Secondly, we need to know that we are secure. And thirdly, we need to know that we are loved. First of all, we need to know that we're saved. John tells us that we are to know that we are saved if we have received Jesus. He says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." God wants us to know that we have eternal life. Well, secondly, we need to know that we're not only saved, but we're secure in that salvation, that we're not going to lose our salvation. Once Jesus Christ saves you, you cannot lose your salvation. Jesus said in John 10, verses 27 and 28, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Then we need to know that we're loved. Yes, we're saved, and yes, we're secure, but we're also loved. God has provided salvation because He loves you. He offers you daily the full benefit of that healing, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, and relationally. So we need to praise Him as the psalmist did in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." That's interesting, isn't it? He puts physical diseases on the same plane as He does spiritual iniquities. Spiritual iniquities or sin would be sickness in the spiritual realm. And in the physical realm or emotional realm, we have diseases, physical problems as well. Well, God is the one who forgives our iniquities, and He heals our diseases. Would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior? Or perhaps you already have and would like to reaffirm that relationship with Him and make sure that you're strong and secure in Him. If so, I'm going to lead you right now in a sinner's prayer. Please repeat this after me. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I repent of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and was raised again to give me new life spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, and relationally. I receive Jesus as my personal Savior, Lord, and Healer. Thank you, Lord, for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that, my friend, you are born again. If you truly meant it, you're in the family of God. God loves you, and He's going to use you now in a way that's going to bless you and bless others and glorify His name. Remember that you're secure in Him. Salvation is God's gift. It's not something you and I can earn. We can't earn it. We can't lose it. We can't maintain it. We can only thank God for it and walk in the fullness that's provided by Him. May God bless you abundantly as you walk in His salvation always. In Jesus' name, amen.